Hey Woody, N5XDX. Let's hear. Make sure that I'm sure that cleared the audio up, though. I bet you sound back to your normal self, and we can live with that. AE5YC.
AE5YC, N5XDX. Hey Herb, I hope you can live with it. If not, I'll go away and cry. But anyway. Yeah, maybe later on this evening, if I can corral them and talk them into it, I'll third party my grandsons in here to talk to you guys. Have a good evening. We'll talk to you later on. This N5XCX. How do I sound now, Oliver?
You sound fine as fine can be. No problem. So, it's definitely an issue with a conference server. Like I said, anytime I see a server that's got unknown as part of the domain name, makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck. Anyway, 3 minutes to net time, so I'm going to shut up and let Jose do the heavy lifting.
Kilo Fox 8, Echo Victor, looking for the check-in look.
Say again? They said we were on a secondary when I logged in. I don't know if that... means anything or not. N5XCX.
Yeah, I caught Kilo Fox 8 and looks like VE9 megahertz. Hey, I like that call. Caught the Echo Victor. The station that was calling, Kilo Fox 8, Echo Victor, or whatever the case may be. Go ahead and jump in.
Okay, folks, that station that tried to jump in, go ahead and try it again. We'd like to take any traffic that's important or priority before we begin here on the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. This is KK4JZX.
KK4ZJX, Fox 8, Echo Victor, Holland, Michigan. Name is Ed. I'm not certain of the protocol. Correct me if I'm incorrect or out of place. Checking in. Want to get on the list for the TechNet. Over.
We're gonna begin the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet right now, and the way it works is we have check-ins beginning very soon, and I didn't quite get I had two stations there, but I didn't quite get your entire call sign. I got the last two letters, but after the break I'll begin the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet for November 15th. 2012, folks. Let me break, and then I'll come back to start. If anybody would like to make any announcements or anything else before we begin the net, go ahead.
Jose, let me just tell people that they need to connect another way than the Handy Ham server, because Handy Ham server is still messing up. This is N5XCX. I would suggest you connect to the VAN IRLP server, but you can connect to either that in Vancouver or to one of the K0PQW, one of the repeater stations. Over.
All right, Woody. Thank you very much. I'll add to your announcement really quickly. Thank you, Woody. VAN IRLP is star VAN dash IRLP star, and you can do a search on Echolink for VAN, and you'll find it. Or you can connect to that's actually the one that you want to connect to tonight. If you want to try the other two that Woody mentioned, is KA0PQW-L and KA0PQW-R. All right, folks, we are beginning the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. Tonight is November 15, 2012. This is KK4JZX, and I'd like to take any priority or emergency traffic at this time. Any priority or emergency traffic, go ahead. All right, since there is no priority or emergency traffic, we'll go ahead and move along. I'd like to welcome you again to the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet for tonight. And my alternate is AE5YC Herb. Herb, are you there? This is KK4JZX.
Well, it depends on who you ask as to whether I'm all here or not, but I am here at least in voice and in spirit. Yeah, go ahead there, Jose. AE5YC, riding shotgun.
All right, Herb, thank you very much. If any emergency or priority traffic should arise, please feel free to break into the conversation with a break or priority, and we'll handle the traffic as it should be. We'll make sure that we take care of it. And I'd like to ask anyone if anyone has any announcements before we begin, and with the ground rules really quickly, ground rule reminders, anyone with any announcements, go ahead, it's your turn. This is KK4JZX.
N5XCX, I have an announcement if you'll call on me there, please, Jose.
N5XCX, go ahead with your announcement.
Thank you, sir. Next Thursday is Thanksgiving. It's also going to be my anniversary, and I will have been married for 32 years at that time. So, anyway, I will take congratulations. Y'all have a good evening, and while I'm here, I'll check in. I might come back with something later on, but as far as things go now, it's cold here in Central Florida. Colder than I want, anyway. It's only about 58, 59 degrees, but that's chilly for me. Okay, and this is N5XGX back in it.
All right, folks. Thank you, Woody, and happy anniversary to you. It's always nice, and always welcome here. And it's nice to hear you. I've heard you on a few weeks in a row now, so that's really truly a pleasure. And I want to thank you for being part of the Handy Ham Nets. All right, folks. Let's begin tonight with the Handy Ham Radio Club Net Tech Net, and just a few ground rules. And the rules are, we pretty much keep it open. It is a directed net. My name is Jose. This is KK4JZX. And what we'd like to do is talk about technology. Any topic having to do with technology, radio, RF, computers, you name it. If you're having a problem with Echolink, you're having a problem setting up a rig with your RF link with Echolink, those types of topics are all welcomed here. And what we try to do is we try to make it a roundtable discussion. So I'm going to take, without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and take check-ins starting now. And I'd like for you guys to give me two at a time, and then I'll come back, recognize, and then take the rest. Go ahead and check into the Handy Ham Radio Club Net. This is KK4JZX.
KD0 Echo Tango Quebec.
Hello, Foxtrot 8 Echo Victor.
All right, I have KD0 ETQ Phil, and I have a second station, KF8 Echo Victor. If I didn't get that correct, the second station, go ahead. I'll call on Phil, and then that second station can make the correction. I'll take the next two stations, and we'll move on with the next two stations, and then we'll start with Phil. Back with Phil. Thank you. KK4JZX.
KF5 QQB.
All right, I've got one more station. I think that's Eric, KF5QQB. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and turn it over to Phil, KD0ETQ. Phil, what's up, my friend? How's it going? And do you have a question, comment, anything for the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet tonight? You seem to have a question every single time, so we definitely welcome that. Go ahead.
Okay, it was KD0ETQ. Oh, of course I got questions. I got just as many questions as Susie's got trivia questions, probably. Okay. Question this week. As you know, I have the whole thing. Had it about a month or so. The UV5R. And it is a open, you know, on transmission on several frequencies. And one thing I've read a little bit about, I don't understand fully, maybe someone could explain it. What is the GMRS? Is that the, I know it's up in the 400 megahertz band, is that the, I think it's up in the 460s, is that the band when you buy these two-way radios and they say, 18, 20 mile range, is that GMRS or is that something else? And do you need a license to transmit on it? I'm not really sure about all that. Or is it kind of like the 11-meter band now where there's still a lot of traffic? I'll tune around. I'll hear up on, 26, 27 megahertz. You still got all the CB channels, and I know that's basically just a bunch of people transmitting with no license. I know when my father was alive, he had the CB was going in the 60s and 70s, but he did have a license. He had a call, and he used this call, and people used calls then. Now it's just a bunch of people yelling and screaming. And I hear a lot about GMRS up in the 460 megahertz range, and is that the two-way radios, or is that something else? So back over to you, KD0 Echo Tango Quebec.
All right, Phil, thank you very much. I just realized I will not be able to use the PTT button because since I'm not sighted, I need to switch around, and the minute I start using the keyboard to switch around to my notepad where my notes are, then I lose my PTT. But thanks for the question, Phil. You've got a question about GRMS and whether that is and what it is and whether there's a license required for that. Let's see if someone here can answer that or provide any comments on that. I think I'm going to move on to K8EV. K8EV, go ahead. This is KK4JZX.
K4JZX. Thank you, Jose. Kilo Fox 8 Echo Victor. Name is Ed, and I'm in Holland, Michigan. My question has to do with the rig which I'm now using. It's the TMV7A, not the brand new model, not the 71A, if I got the numbers right. It's the older model, 7A. My problem is when shutting down the rig, it doesn't stay on the frequency or on the memory channel anyway, which I was using. If I was using 2, monitoring 2, transmitting on 2, and shut it down, it would, when bringing it back up again, revert to memory channel 1. I'm wondering if there is some setting in the menu or somewhere, or if it's a battery problem that holds the memories. If there's anyone who could answer a question like that, I would appreciate it. Jose, back to you, KF8EV.
All right, Ed, KF8 Echo Victor, thank you very much for checking into the net. Definitely a good question, and we'll see if someone here has an answer or a comment for you. Let's see, Eric, KF5QQB, do you have any comments, any questions? How's it going tonight? This is the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. This is KK4JZX. Go ahead, Eric.
Hello, everyone. This is Eric, KF5QQB. And if I had to guess, I would say that it's probably a battery. 9 times out of 10, when ham rigs start losing their memory, it's because the battery is dead. I don't know enough about that particular rig to tell you how to find it, but that would be the first thing I would check. Other than that, I'll just stay in the background. I'm on that EchoLink tonight because I can't figure out how to get the local repeater hooked up. So anyway, I will.
X-ray Charlie, X-ray.
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and take additional calls and then come back to Ed. I think Woody N5XEX had come in. Woody, do you have any traffic for us? This is AK4JZX.
Yeah, I'll give you my benefit of my 10 years of experience here, and plus the fact that I was a big CB-er back in the 70s, had the handle and the whole nine yards, but I won't tell you what it was because I'm embarrassed. But anyway, GMRS is the modern day CB channels. Okay, most of GMRS is on somewhere around 160 megs. There's a couple right around the 162, you know, right, so that you can pick up the weather channels. And there's you've heard there, Phil, there are some up in the 430 area. I think that you don't have to have a license at all, that's called Family Radio. And I don't know what GMRS stands for, but that's basically what it is, you know, so that people can keep up with their kids and stuff like that. Drive down the road and use a little HTs. And yeah, those HT work on those channels, but you can't really change them to the ham channels. That doesn't work for some reason. This is N5XEX back to Ned. Hope that helps.
AE5YC comment.
AE5YC, go ahead with your comment, and then I'll move on to any further comments by Phil and Ed. KK4JZX.
Oh, thank you, Jose. Yeah, just to clear it up a little bit, GMRS stands for the General Mobile Radio Service, and FRS is the Family Radio Service. And the Family Radio Service, you don't need a license to use. They have a lower power, but they're all in the 70-centimeter range. And the GMRS is for businesses, and you do need a license. And you're actually allowed to set up repeaters on the GMRS frequencies. You pay an annual fee. They've got a good write-up about it in Wikipedia. There's an overlap. The first seven channels of the first 15 channels of I'll get it straight. The first seven channels of FRS is the same as the first seven channels of GMRS, and then the next 15 through 22 of the GMRS are strictly GMRS. So they have shared frequencies on the first seven channels. Let me buy a nickel. The first five seven channels are shared, and the last 15 through 22 are not shared, and you are allowed repeaters, but you have to pay, I believe it's an annual licensing fee. And the FRS, they use, I believe, narrowband, because the frequencies, like channel 1 is 462.5625, and on the GMRS, channel 15 is 462.550, so they have one less decimal point of resolution. But the FRS and the GMRS are separate, and GMRS definitely needs a license to be legal. And yes, the Baofeng radios and the Ocean radios work on all those frequencies. Not that I know personally, since they put out too much power, but I know to a moral certainty that they do work. AE5YC. That's all I got on FRS and GMRS.
All right, Herb, AE5YC, thank you very much. This is KK4JZX. I'm going to turn it really quickly to Phil, make sure that we've got some of his questions answered. I think your answer, Herb, is has given Phil and I was not familiar with GMRS and FRS. So, Phil, KD0ETQ, before we start taking any further calls, does that answer your question? This is KK4JZX.
Yeah, KK4JZX. Yeah, pretty much. I just have one question for Herb. I just had the Bullfang does cover that, and you can get down to, because I've monitored stuff, you know, putting in like, for instance, 462 point, you know, something, something, 75 dot something, and it will go all the way out to the those in between frequencies. And the Bullfang is low power and high power. The low power is 1 watt. Is the 1 watt still too much on those family channels? If I could ask Herb that, I know 5 watts would be, but is 1 watt on those first 7 family channels through the Bullfang, is that still too much power? KD0ETQ.
Oh, that's interesting stuff. Coming through Handy Hams, I'm not sure exactly what that's about, but I believe that the family radio service is a half a watt, but don't hold me to it. Of course, no one's going to be standing with a field strength meter checking that stuff out. I've heard anecdotally, of course, not through personal experience, I've heard anecdotally that a lot of people will program in the FRS frequencies. And just monitoring during the hurricane that we had recently, I heard a lot of chatter from the folks that had the FRS radios while I monitored. I mean, I wouldn't want to use those radios to stay in touch around the house, like if you know, my son was in one section and I was monitoring the weather in another section, and we needed to stay in contact. I would never use it even on low power, but I'm sure it would have worked really, really well. And we did hear plenty of people talking. So there you go. For what it's worth, AE5YC.
Okay, Herb. I think I got you. AE5YC. KD0ETQ. Okay, thanks a lot. Yeah, that gave me pretty much information on that. So, I understand you. Okay, back over to net control, KK4JZX, KD0ETQ, and thanks for the answers.
All right, now, thank you very much, Herb, for going direct with Phil there, KD0ETQ. And, all right, how about KF8EV, Ed? Did you hear the comment that Eric made about your radio there? This is KK4JZX.
Jose, I did hear about the battery backup, and I too don't know where in the radio that would be found, but it is something I'll check out. I'll be listening to the net for a little bit more. Possibly someone has some other information regarding the TMV-7A and why I do not maintain the same memory channel when shutting down the rig as when I was using it. Okay, very good. We'll do that. Thank you for the net, and thank you for the information. I, too, am operating here blindfolded. I have a TMV-71A in our truck, driven by my wife, but I drive that radio, and I really love that TMV-71A. Jose, back to you. 73R, KF8EV.
KF8EV, thank you very much. And you sound pretty good there, Ed. You're sounding very, very, very good, coming in very clear and crisp. So, all right, I'm going to take the next two stations that would like to check in and make any comments or have any questions for the Henny Ham Radio Club TechNet. This is KK4JZX.
Ah, you're doing them two by two. KL3RH, good evening. And November 1, Victor X-Ray Papa.
All right, I'm going to recognize KL3RH, Riley, and N1VXP, Rick. Yeah, Riley, I'm doing it 2x2 because I'm having some challenges with the keyboard here. But go ahead, the next two stations, and then we'll start from Riley. But go ahead, the next two stations, please check in to the Handy Ham Radio Club Net. This is KK4JZX.
Victor Oscar 1 Alpha X-Ray.
KG4PXG.
I got VO1AX, and then I got KD4PXP. All right, I'm going to take Riley. Riley, how's it going today? KL3RH, this is KK4JZX.
Well, good evening, Jose, on the net. Well, just sitting here for once. I'm not really dorking with the computer, but I am reading a technical book. I don't know how many of you people remember Kevin Mitnick, but he's got some stuff out that's very highly technical, and I'm sitting here soaking it in, learning how to make networks more secure. And I'll tell you what, if I were rated on a scale from A to F, I'd be an F minus. I keep mine pretty secure, but it's a humbling read, I'll tell you. It's long, and most people wouldn't probably really enjoy it a lot because it is very, very techy and all that. But I don't know. I guess some people read fiction, and I read techie junk. With that, I'll send it back to Net, KL3RH.
All right, Riley, KL3RH. This is KK4JZX. Thank you for checking into the Net. And enjoy that book. Those technical books can be quite interesting, like reading, you know what they used to call it, stereo instructions? But thank you, Riley. Appreciate that, and hopefully you'll be reading some stuff you're going to be able to bring up in the TechNet and help us out. Because, goodness, we do need a lot of help in implementing security. A lot of people around here, especially in my neighborhood, have their wireless routers wide open, and they don't put security on them. They leave them wide open, and people, you know, they take advantage of that. They connect and use internet. All right, I'm moving on to N1VXP. Rick, how's it going, Rick? Do you have any questions for tonight or comments for what has already been discussed? This is KK4JZX.
This is N1VXP. Yeah, that GMRS radio, the annual fee is like $85 for the license. And the output on the radios, the FRS is, I think, either a half watt or a 1 watt. The GMRS are 5 watts, so 5 watts on UHF does carry a good distance. And you know, I've had experience where I've actually volunteered in a outdoor event, and most of the people had the GMRS, and I had the ham radio. And just for laughs, I tuned in the frequency. I had a radio handheld that did transmit out of band. And I was actually able to transmit, and they copied me very good, and I copied them as well. Had an emergency that worked out. They were lucky I was there, so I averted a severe weather problem. And as far as the mobile radio, it sounds like the priority channel, generally channel 1 is priority. It sounds like the priority part in there might be activated, so that might be why it's going to channel 1 when it shuts off and turns back on again. N1VXP back to net control.
All right, Rick, thank you very much. N1VXP, you know, that's a good comment about the radio. I hadn't thought about that. I've been looking at the programming software for my radio and seeing that option there, and wasn't sure if that actually what that actually did in terms of setting that to on and setting a channel. So, alright, there's a station that actually came in earlier. Let me break. I think it's a VO1AX. VO1AX, go ahead, it's your turn on the net.
Good evening, Jose. KK4JZX in the group. Victor Oscar 1 Alpha X-ray returning. Hope I'm making it through all right. I'm running EchoLink on the iPhone, so hope the audio isn't too bad. And I'm up here in Newfoundland, Canada, where it's a balmy 40 degrees Fahrenheit, which is about 4 degrees Celsius, I guess, and lots of rain, about 4 inches. Called for in the next 8 to 12 hours. And winds are out of the northeast at about 20 miles an hour. Not much to really contribute. I just wanted to listen in and see what this was all about, and it seems to be very informative. For the gentleman with the TM-V7A, I believe the Kenwood mobile radio up in the truck, I would have checked the priority channel as well. I, too, am a white caner, and don't get to drive much, but the XYL does all the driving. I don't have a mobile VHF rig. I'm primarily HF and a DX chaser. And we like to check in on EchoLink locally from time to time. We run an EchoLink net up here in Newfoundland, Canada, and thought I'd give this Handy Ham TechNet a try. I do got one little question I don't know if anybody could answer, but I'm a user of a Yaesu Fox Tango 102 HF transceiver, which is a hybrid high-end Yaesu rig from 1983, and just wondered if anybody had tips and tricks on using the general width control, not specific to the Yaesu 102, but using the width control, either it be a Kenwood rig, an ICOM rig. I think ICOM calls theirs the passband. Do I just narrow the audio, and that's how I know that the QRM is being fought, or just basically play around with the shift and width controls till it sounds nice? Primarily used solid-state rigs, a Kenwood Tango Sierra 570 Delta Golf with the slope tuning, and used a Tango Sierra 940 Sugar Alpha Tango in the past as well, which had the slope tuning. So other than that, we'll just listen along, Jose, and thank you very much for calling me in, and if anybody can answer the question, well, great. If not, that's no biggie. We'll listen along and for another little while, and see what comes up. So back she comes, KK4JZX in the group. Victor Oscar 1 Alpha X-ray will be listening along.
Well, VO1AX, this is KK4JZX. You sound great. That audio is really good. But before I move on to the next station, what is your handle? I failed to ask you for that. I apologize. This is KK4JZX.
Hey, Jose. The name is Mike, Mexico, Italy, Kilowatt Echo, and I thought you may have seen it in the list there on the screen. It's listing me as Michael, but I go by Mike or Michael, or call me anything, but just don't call me late for dinner. Go ahead.
VO1AX, hey, Mike. Yeah, I'm not sighted. I'm a blind individual, and I don't get to see everything on the screen. I've got to work with what I've got. I apologize for that, but I've got you on the log in the log here, and definitely we'll try to remember next time. I always usually go through my log and review names, but I don't remember them all. But usually, after a couple times of listening, I end up memorizing the names, and that actually works out for me. All right, moving on to the next station. The next station is KD4PXB. Go ahead. It's your turn on the net.
Roger. It's Kilo Golf 4, Papa X-Ray Golf. The name is Worth. A quick audio check. I swapped over to a headset. Can you hear me clearly?
Roger that. I can copy you very clearly. A little bit high, but you sound great. It sounds great. This is KK4JZX.
Okay. I'm not sure of the protocol, but Ed, the gentleman with the TMV7A. I have the exact answer he's looking for. Very familiar with that radio. And should I pause a second and see if he's still listening before I give him the answer?
KF8EV. Ed, are you listening? You might have a possible answer here for you. This is KK4JZX.
Okay, well, if he comes back in, I do have the answer. It's programmable function. It's on the TMV7A. And he's just got his programmable function. It can be changed, you know, or it can be completely erased out and started over again, and that's what's causing that to happen. So, like I said, I'm very familiar with that radio. Anyway, I'm new on here, first time checking in, so I'll say hello to everybody, and we're very familiar with those Kenwood TMV7As and a couple of other radios out there, and that's all I really have to add was some information. I don't have any questions, but the net sounds really great for a first-timer. Glad to hear y'all guys doing this. Wonderful thing. And my location is south of Brunswick, Georgia. I'm about 12 miles south of Brunswick, Georgia. And the name is Worth, W-O-R-T-H. So keep up the good work. And sorry, I got a net going in the background on a 2-meter radio. Thanks a lot. If Ed comes back in, I'll be listening. I give him my call sign or whatever. KG4PXG. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Worth. Appreciate that. And hopefully KF8 Echo Victor is around. I'm going to make one more call for him and see if he's around. KF8 EV, Ed, are you still around? This is KK4JZX. All right, moving along. Hopefully Ed will come back and we'll be able to give him the answer that he's looking for. I'm at the bottom of the list here. And this is the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet for November 15, 2012. I am Jose. This is KK4JZX, and I'm taking check-ins. Remember, folks, to direct. This is a directed net, and every station should check with net control, KK4JZX. And we allow direct communication as well, of course. We'd like to make this a roundtable discussion of technical, technology-related questions, comments, tips, suggestions, anything that you might have that you can bring to the table, we take it. This is KK4JZX taking check-ins at this time. Go ahead.
Kilo Delta Zero, Sierra Zebra Hotel.
KF7, UTR.
AE5YC.
Okay, I got three stations, KD0SZH. I've got KF7 UTR, Brad, and then I've got AE5YC Herb. Go ahead with that first station with your handle and your comment for the Henny Ham Radio Club TechNet. This is KK4JZX. The call was for KD0SZH.
KD0SZH. Name is Mark. I'm coming in over Echo Link, so we may have a little bit of challenge from time to time here. Question I've got is if there are any actual users in the audience here that have been using the Wosheng handhelds and what their experience has been.
Oh, yeah. KD0SZH. Yeah. You're going to have some answers upcoming. Yeah, there are a couple of people here that have been using it. In fact, I just got one myself. I have not been using it much because I'm actually going through the tutorials now. I won't be able to answer any questions about it because I'm running net tonight, but I'm sure KF7 UTR, who's coming up next, is definitely going to have some answers, and AE5YC Herb, who is freezing up in New Orleans, is going to have answers as well. So I'll turn it to KF7 UTR Brad. How's it going tonight? Do you have any comments, any questions for the net tonight? This is KK4JZX.
I do have a question, and it's one of those boil boys. Actually, it's pretty simple for someone I know. And then in reference to the Oshan, awesome radio. Love it, love it. It's a great HT, and I'm trying to get more contacts and stuff like that since I've been over here on this side of Washington. And have obviously relocated, but anyways, yeah, any questions for that, he can ask, feel free, no problem. But here's my question. If I want to connect through a repeater that is on the IRLP, number one, how do I go from that repeater to a node somewhere else? And then also when you're looking at some of the nodes, most of them are 4-digit, but then I've seen some that have a few more digits than that. So can someone explain to me why there's 4 digits and 6 digits, or as an example, KF7, UTR.
All right, Brad, thank you very much for your question, but I'm going to ask KD0SZH, do you have any specific questions that you would like to ask? I'm sorry I didn't do that before, but do you have any questions specifically that you would like to ask? I know that a lot of folks are going to say the radio is great, but do you have any questions that you would like to ask specifically about the radio? Or are you interested in just, you know, learning whether the radio is a good potential buy, or, you know, whatever question you might have. Go ahead. It's your turn. This is KK4JZX.
Sorry here for the delay. The Zecho link isn't as quick as it should be. I guess the questions are, I'm not going to be beating it up. I'm not going to be dropping it in the lake. I'm not going to be really using it heavily, but there are times that I would like to just get out and connect. I don't want something that's got an intensive learning curve. I can get off the computer, and I don't want to spend a fortune for one. So it looks like that would be something in line with what I'm looking for.
Okay, Mike, KD0SZH, I'm going to turn it to Brad. Maybe he has a comment in terms of what you just asked. Brad, KF7UTR, go ahead. If you have any comments for Mike, go ahead.
As far as the learning curve, it is very easy to program. My suggestion, if anybody invests in one, and the going rate is pretty universal everywhere I've seen, you're looking at about $120, depending on where you're ordering it from. But anyways, the most important thing I've noticed is you get the programming cable, so you can plug it into a computer. They have a program from PowerWorks, who is the U.S. rep for OSHAN. That programming, whatever, is okay. There is one that is developed by a ham that is a lot more user-friendly, but not learning curve. There is none. It's, like I said, real simple, easy, and if you have the PC, and obviously, if you're on Echolink, that's a good possibility, then the program will be very, very easy for you.
Thank you. That's helping me in the direction I'm looking.
All right, KD0SCH, Mark. If I messed up your name before, I apologize. I'm going through some challenges here, switching between applications, and it's fun. It's fun. I'm not going to call it anything else. This is KK4JZX for the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. And I know that Herb is itching to jump in and make his comments about the Om Shing. Go ahead, Herb, AE5YC. It's your turn on the net. Maybe you have a question, an answer for Brad and his question about the repeater, and maybe you have some more comments for Mark. And I know KF8EV, Ed, is still... we're still looking for him because there's an answer for him as well. Go ahead, Herb, KK4JZX.
What, me have an opinion? Oh, man, I can't believe you would think I would have an opinion. I bought the UV2D. The UV1D and the UV2D are basically the same radio. My understanding, the only difference I can tell is I think the 2D was opened up from the factory and the 1D isn't, but don't hold me to it, but I can't tell a difference between them. I think they're great little radios. They're water resistant, not waterproof, but water resistant, and I have had mine out in a torrential downpour. I was under an umbrella, but I pretty much got soaked, and the radio held up fine. Now I have to say that there's another radio that has caught my eye. It's the Baofeng, B-O-U-F-E-N-G, maybe. The UV5R, not the 3R by any stretch, but the UV5R, it's 4 watts instead of 5 watts. It's got a little bit more stubby antenna, but I don't find either one of the rubber ducky antennas work that well. I'm looking to upgrade to a better rubber ducky antenna. They've got some out there that are... about 5/8 wave, and I've seen them on several local hams radios, and they make a significant difference in the reception. And then, of course, I've got an adapter to go outside to a externally mounted antenna. And the Baofeng radios you can find on eBay and from several sources in the $50 range. And for $50, you can get them with the programming cable. Without the programming cable, they're in the 43 to 47 range. So they're very, very inexpensive. I bought two of them a year and a half after I bought my Ocean, and I love all three radios, don't get me wrong, but for $50, golly, I do love those little UV5Rs. Let me get your reaction on that and buy a nickel before I time out. So how about that? What do you think there, Mark?
Sounds good. I had I hadn't been considering the Baofeng because it gets a lot of negative reviews due to the fact that it's super light duty and flimsy and everything else. But actually, now that we're discussing it, that might just work. And the cost does sound good. Over.
Now, Roger, I look at it as a virtually a disposable radio. You know, if something happens to it, you know, under $50, it's that's pretty easy to handle. And I can tell you that it's got a flashlight built into it. It's got an FM radio built into it. It's got all the little knick-knack stuff that sounds useless. But I just wrote out the hurricane here in Louisiana. I didn't have to deal with the one in New York or on the East Coast, luckily, but we wrote out Isaac here locally, and the only flashlights I used were on my three handheld radios, and the batteries held up the entire time. When all else failed, I had my FM radio so I could pick up local news, and for emergency communications, I had the FRS frequencies programmed in, plus the ham frequencies, plus the weather band, plus you can even put the marine frequencies in. So if you needed to talk to a boat, you can get marine frequencies on there as well. You know, it's not valid on a la-di-da day, but in a life or death emergency, the rule is there are no rules. Life and limb come, safety comes first. And I found them to be virtually indispensable. And then I have a sort of an answer for Brad, KF7 UTR. So let me go back to you, Mark, before I rattle my teeth at Brad.
Well, those other things that you mentioned, the ability to program in all those other channels and stuff, sounds very interesting. And I live on a lake and do a lot of, on a big lake, and do a lot of boating and stuff too. So the marine channels would be kind of handy to have, as well as the weather and the other ones, you say. So I think I'm leaning toward that way pretty strongly. And like you say, if it goes overboard for $50 or even $100, hey, I'm not going to be crying too much.
Yeah, that was my thought exactly. You know, $120, you know, I'm not going to cry, but I'm not going to feel good. $50, that's like a really nice lunch out. And they seem to hold up pretty good. I've had both models, the Baofeng and the Ocean, out in inclement weather, as I say, and they've got rubber plugs for the holes where the headsets go. They use the same accessories, same antennas, same adapters, mics. There is some potential issues with the programming cable, so I would make sure that I buy the programming cable with the radio from the same company, and that helps make sure that there's no compatibility issues, even though my original O'Shane cable programs all three of my radios. I think things have changed, but I love them. You know, compared to a $300 or $400 radio, it's not as good, but it's certainly good enough. And like you said, you know, you don't cry about it. And I'm the same way. I'm a sailor. I go out on the water. I want to be able to put the marine frequencies in there. So, well, let me buy a nickel real quick. Man, I'm talking too much.
Well, you're talking right. but since you've got the experience with both the Bofang and the Woshan, I was an engineer for 40-some years, and I know you don't get something for nothing. So I'm assuming that in the $50 difference or $70 difference, there must be something that the Bofang is does not have. Over.
Yeah, Roger, there is, you know, some sacrifices. There's, on the O'Shane, there's a, in addition to the off-on volume knob, there's a dial that you can use to cycle through pre-programmed channels, or through menu options, et cetera. And on the Baofeng, that's done using the up and down arrows on the keypad. So that's one sacrifice. You've got one less knob on top. And then it's 1 watt less. So the Baofeng is 4 watts. The O'Shane is 5 watts. So you are losing 1 watt of power. I think the battery is slightly smaller. Although, for a couple of bucks, they've got a new double-size battery that actually makes the radio feel a little heftier, and it's literally double the capacity of the standard battery. It's two battery packs put together in one extra long case, and it makes the radio tall enough to actually feel like a radio in your hand. So those are the differences. And honestly, after playing with them, I like the, just for me personally, putting everything together, I like the Baofeng better than I do the O'Shane. And it's not just because it's cheaper. To me, it seems like it's just a little bit easier to do some of the things that I want to do, like program it on the fly, things like that. It seems like it's easier to do. So, I've got both of them, and that's where I stand on them there.
Thank you, Ed. This has been very valuable. I appreciate the input. Over.
Hey, no problem, but it's Herb, AE5YC, after eating 5 yellow cookies, Alpha Echo 5 Yankee Charlie. But that's okay, no sweat. Ed was asking for another question. And there's a bunch of folks here. KFIQQB's got, I think, the O'Shane. Can't hardly throw a rock in any direction on the air and find someone that has not got one or both of the radios. So you can get more input on the differences. If you're going to be using it handheld, I would definitely consider investing like $14 in one of the really tall antennas, and if you're going to use it mobile, then spend $6 for an adapter and $30 for an external antenna. And I talk from here to the other side of the lake, which is about 30 odd miles by air on 4 watts. It's not a perfect signal, but it gets out. And real quick before I time out, KF7UTR, Brad, the four-digit number is an IRLP number, and the six-digit number is the Echolink number, and the only way you can connect a repeater in is to have a code. Like here locally, the N5OZG repeater, Joe programmed a macro up, and I go, or whoever goes with the DTMF keypad on the radio, and you punch in 81, and that connects to the Handy Ham conference, and you do star pound, I think it is, and that disconnects, but you have to get permission from the repeater operator, and he has to have pre-programmed it to go to a conference. So you can't just connect a repeater up to a conference. It has to have an internet connection, and he has to have given you his blessing and set it up in advance. There, I think I got it in without timing out. AE5YC, man, I'm long-winded.
All right. Thanks, Herb. I'll come back to you now, but I wanted to ask Mark if KD0SZH, if any of these radios for him would require the use of speech or the use of JAWS or a screen reader of any type. Mark, if you would come back and tell me about that. I'd also like to turn to Phil for a question, but before that, go ahead, Mark, let me know if you have an answer for me.
Well, Jose, my use is going to be pretty simple. It's just going to be mostly listening out and about on occasional contact. Nothing fancy, just something very basic. For the HF bands, I got a real nice ICOM to keep me through, and this Echo Link is turning out to be a rather interesting thing too, because I can also get on here through my iPhone. So it's just another choice, and just a simple one to have one of the small handhelds. Over.
All right, Mark, K0SZH. What I was getting at was I have a requirement which is kind of tough sometimes, but I'm not sighted, so I need a radio that has speech, and I know that the UV 5R I has some speech, and the Oshang has some spoken menus. It won't speak the frequency, but if you require speech on the radio, in other words, if you're not sighted, then that's, you know, there's a little bit of more work. But that's where I was getting at, and I apologize for the question, but you know, this is the Handy Ham Radio Club Net, and we'd like to take care of people, whoever they are, and I'm one of the individuals that's a Handy Ham member, and I'm actually blind. But go ahead, Mark, and let me know if you require any type of speech on your radios, speech synthesis, KK4JZX.
Thanks, Jose. I didn't understand that, but yeah, no, I'm usually using such old equipment and stuff. I don't need the speech aspect, so neither of them would be a problem there. Over.
Okay, good. I'm glad. All right, thank you very much, Mark. And Herb, I'm going to come back to you in a couple of seconds. I know that KD0ETQ, Phil, has a, I think he has a Baofeng UV5R. Phil, just your quick comments on how you've been able to use your radio, just for Mark's benefits, and then we'll move back to Herb and move on to taking all the calls. Go ahead, Phil, it's your turn. This is KK4JZX.
No, okay, Jose, KK4JZX, KD0ETQ. Yeah, I've had it about a little over a month, maybe 4 or 5 weeks. I had the radio before I had the programming cable and the software. No, I just said it wrong. I had the software first, but what I found out is the software I had, it depends on what version of the radio. You had to find out what version of the radio you got. Then I got the cable first, and I put a bunch of frequencies in and everything, and then I found out I had the wrong software. But you can download it on the internet; it's all over the place. But then I got the radio, and I didn't want to wait for the new software to be updated, which would have been 2 weeks later. So I went ahead and Brandon here from Handy Hams, I got on the phone with him, and he told me a site to go to program it by hand, use a keypad. And I had, you know, like 50 or 60 channels programmed in 2 days. Had no problem at all. I mean, I can put a channel in actually faster by hand than I can getting out the plug it in the thing, plug it in the radio, button on the channel, you know. Just, I just say, somebody, like last night, for instance, I was on a local a UHF net that I checked into St. Louis area. And, you know, he said, oh, have you tried our, 443-750? I said, no. So he said, okay, you know, you got to, it's a plus, and it's a, you know, 192.8 tone. So I sat there while I was talking to him. I actually punched it in while someone else was talking, and before, you know, within a minute, I had it all in there. So I had no problem at all. I said, it's not, someone said they'd heard it was like flimsy. Well, it's anything but flimsy. If you pick it up, it's a lot heavier than you think it is. I mean, it's not like weighs you down, but it's a lot heavier. And you look at it and you think, oh, it's kind of plastic junk of just looking at it. But when you pick it up, it's sturdy. It's really kind of a heavy radio for the size. And like I said, the FM radio flips over and works real good. You know, I'll sit there and listen to the FM radio for a while. But I've had no problem. I've got 37 repeaters programmed in here. Some of them I can't reach it, but that's just if I take it in the car with me. But there's like 19 or 20 of them I can reach, no problem whatsoever. But I am going to, I did get an adapter, SMA to a BNC. I got the adapter, and I got a little pull-up thing that I can hook onto it. But I'm going to get, in about a month or so, I'm going to get a outside thing to put on. I'm on a third floor of an apartment. I'm going to put on a balcony and hook it up so that way I can hit them. I think I'll probably get them 35, 40 mile away repeaters, the way I understand. But I really like it. I mean, you can't go wrong for $50. That's what I spent. And I haven't had any problem with it whatsoever. I think I timed out there. I haven't had any problem with it at all. I really like it. Like I said, I've used it every single day, and it comes with the programming. It comes with the charging, the little cradle type thing like a cordless telephone does. And there's a, when you put it in, if it needs charging, a red light goes on, and then it turns green once it's fully charged. At least that's what mine does. And I just charge it every night, no matter how much I use it. Yesterday, I used it a real lot, and after 2 hours, it was completely charged. I've never, it has three little bars that tell you how much the battery is, and I've only gone down to two bars. I've never gone down to one, and the battery's never run out on me. So, that's probably about all I got to say, which is plenty. So, No, I really like it. I mean, if I bought another HT, I'd probably buy another Bofang. Just have two of them. I really like them. KD0ETQ.
All right, Phil, thank you very much. And folks, I'd like to ask for a favor, because I know we have connections everywhere. And I think repeaters usually time out at about, 3 minutes? If we could break in between. And you can always come back, but let's try to break in between so we could allow these repeaters to clear. All right, Phil, thank you. It's always good to have you on here. And I'm gonna ask Mark to make his make a quick comment. I think Mark, you got what you need in terms of what you were looking for. KD0SZH, before I turn it on over to Brad, I'd like your comments, and then we'll continue with the net. This is KK4JZX.
Thank you, Jose, and thank you, Phil. This is just the kind of input that I was looking for from some real hands-on people. I especially like the part about being able to input the, and program the thing by hand without having to rely on a computer. I do a lot of traveling, and I don't want to have to be stuck to a computer if I can't. So that sounds like it would work very well for me. And I do like the So far, you haven't hit on any negatives for me. I want something that I can travel with. I want something that's inexpensive. It would be nice if it worked. And so far, nobody said that they don't. So I think this feedback has been very useful. I think I know where I'm going to go tomorrow. Over.
All right, KD0SZH. Thank you very much, Mark. I think Herb would have comments about the travel part. Herb likes the programming software because he can take a snapshot of the radio and put in, back it up and put in a new snapshot that covers his entire trip. And that way he's covering his repeaters as he moves along his route. And he does that with with a save and a restore. And if you have if you're somebody that's traveling quite a bit and you've got many repeaters that you're working with on the road, you may not want to be doing that by hand. You may want to do a little bit of programming and do swapping like Herb does, and I'll let him come in a little bit and talk a little bit about that. But Brad, KF7UTR, does that do you have the answer for your question? Go ahead. This is KK4JZX.
I did get the answer to my question, and all I got to do now is just start making myself known to these local repeater owners out here, because there's a bunch on this side of the state. But yes, Herb answered it very well for me, so I'll be able to contact the ones that have the IRLPs, and there's a few close by that are also hooked up to Echolink, so that'll cover all my bases. And, let's see, you guys have really filled Mark up with a lot of info on both radios, and they are both, by what I've heard and seen, they're both easy to program right there off the keyboard or the keypad and everything else, too. So, anyways, you guys are doing an awesome one tonight. I am going to put a quiet in my ear because the wife said it's time to eat dinner, but appreciate all of you, and I'll just kind of be listening until I get yelled at. KF7UTR.
Reach
I heard Frankie in there. Frankie, give me a second. I'll come back to you. N0DSH. I'll come back to you, okay? I wanted to see if KF8EV Ed is on, because there is an answer for his question, and I'd like for him to get his answer if he's on. Ed, are you with us? This is KK4JZX.
PXG with recheck also, and I'm still holding that question, that answer for him.
KG4PXG, I'll come back with your recheck. Let me take Frankie, N0DSH. Maybe he has some traffic for us, and I apologize if I didn't take it earlier, but go ahead, Frankie, with your comment or your question, and if you have traffic, go ahead and it's your turn.
Well, I'll tell you, the easy one for me to program and that I really like is the Tribander, is that Kenwood the THF6A. I plan on purchasing one of those. I like to travel around also, but I don't have a car, and if the gentleman has got a car, I would have him think about getting a mobile, a dual-band mobile like that the TMV71A. And just another little bit of traffic. If you hear Delta Fox 9 Whiskey Mike Christoph around, tell him I'm trying to get a hold of me. I'm trying to get a hold of him, and he can call me any time, day or night. Usually in the evening, in our time, so it'd be morning over there. And other than that, Jose, did you get that information from Herb?
Frankie, N0DSH. I've been thinking about you for the last couple of days, and we're working on it. I spoke with Herb yesterday about it, and we're going to get it to you. It's one of those things where Herb is a good cook, from what I hear, and he does it all from his from his head. So he's got to put it down, and he's got to get it to us. When he gets it to me, I'll get it to you, buddy, okay? I'm not forgetting about you. I have you on my list, Frankie. N0DSH, on your last comment, I'm going to take the recheck from Mark. I'll take the recheck after your last comment, Frankie.
Hey, well, thank you on that, and hope you can get on QRZ and look me up and you can see what I look like. I may scare you. You're going to fall right out of your chair. Back to that, everybody. Have a good night.
Frankie, it's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure having you on here. And you're welcome anytime to check in with the Handy Ham Radio Club Net. And before I take the Mark's recheck, I'd like to tell you folks that if you'd like to find out more about Handy Hams, you can visit the Handy Ham website at www.handyham.org. And you can click on Nets, Handy Ham Net, and you can find out everything about the daily or midday nets that Handy Ham runs, and the regular Wednesday and Thursday night nets, and the weekend nets. To find out more, you can go to www.handyham.org. And always remember, if you have any traffic, if you have any priority or emergency traffic, we can handle it. Come in with a break, and or priority, and we'll handle it. Go ahead, KG4. PXG, it's your turn with your recheck, and then I'm going to turn it over to AE5YC. Go ahead, Mark.
Thank you. KG4PXG, name's Worth. The Balfang and the Yosan, and I believe gentleman's name is Herb. He may have this hidden answer before the other gentleman purchases it, because I think he wants to use touch tone or dual multi-frequency dialing. I know the Yosan has that on them, but does the Balfang UV5R, does it have the, some people call it touch tone or multi-frequency dialing, so he could access EchoLink from repeaters or the other services on the repeater?
Okay, Worth, I had Mark before, and I my goodness, I'm very good at mixing up names, but trust me, when I start remembering your name, I promise I will not forget it. But I'm going to turn it over to AE5YC Herb, because I know he'll have a comment for you about that, and then we'll take any additional calls right after Herb's comments. Herb, it's your turn. This is KK4JZX.
Oh, thank you very much, Jose, and don't worry about names, because I looked down and I had Brad labeled as Rick. I was like, wait a minute, I know that's not Brad. That's not Rick, that's Brad. I had Rick correct, I just had two Ricks. Worth, both the radios have DTMF functions, the touch dialing, where it does the heterodyne tones like a telephone keypad. So that was one of my concerns as well when I bought it. But the UV5R and the Ocean both have the DTMF. So like when I want to connect up the local repeater to the conference, I can dial 8-1, you know, you key up and you press the keypad and it sends out those tones. And when I want to disconnect it, I key up and I dial the correct key combination and it disconnects it. So yes, both radios do DTMF. And I wanted to ask, you said you had the answer on programming that TMV7A. I keep a log of all the notes. I downloaded the user guide on that radio. If since Ed's not around, if you want to give me those instructions on how to fix it, I'll type it into my log, and then the next time we come around, if he asks the question, I've got it in a searchable database, and we can get that information to him. KG4PXG, AE5YC.
AE5YC. KG4PXG. Yes, sir, I'll be happy to give that to you. And I have the Yosin. I have the three different models of that. And one of the things I liked about it was the AA battery pack. And everything's interchangeable, just like you had explained to the gentleman prior. Kenwood TMV7A. It is the PF function, programmable function, that's located on the right-hand side of the radio, right below the menu, or right above the menu. I don't have it in front of me, but it's programmable function. It's programmed. It saves exactly what you put in it at that time, and when you turn it off, it comes back to those settings. And the four little small buttons across the bottom, where the function button is, just to the right of the large VFO knob or channel knob, those are 1, 2, 3, 4, and it's just programmed, and he's got it set where it's coming back to that every time. So he might want to set it on his favorite settings, and then he will tap the function button and tap the PF button and then choose 1, 2, 3, 4 and tap that button, and he's just saved those settings forever, whatever they may be, including crossband, etc., etc. Now, that's how you save them or change them. And the way you go back to them is you just tap the PF button and choose the button 1, 2, 3, 4 across the bottom. And those tones are function, and then the tone, and then the reverse, and the power setting, those four little buttons. And that's how you move it from one selectable programmable function menu. And this includes all menu settings and everything. And you can actually set crossband up where it's a tap PF button and tap the selected button, and you're in crossband mode. And the way you take it out is just tap PF and go back to normal operations by entering another button, either 1, 2, 3, 4. So I hope I didn't confuse you, but if need to be, you know, we can reconnect later and you can ask me a question or something like that. I'm very familiar with that radio. And yeah, I use those screen readers too, so that answers those questions about being able to see or not. I'm totally blind.
Yeah, fine business work. No, you explained it very well. I'm not sure I can explain it to him as well as you explained it to me. So hopefully you'll be around for the next TechNet, and so will he, and then we'll make sure that you two get together first and foremost. But I made a serious amount of notes here, plus I've got the, like I said, I downloaded the user's guide in PDF, and I'm going to transfer those notes right into the PDF, and that way I'll have it in case you're not around the next time Ed shows up. That that was very clear, and it's essentially shortcuts. I've got something similar to that on my Yaesu FT100D, which I'm still figuring out how to use, but I can set it up crossband, and I can put it in, it's, you know, HF through 70 meters, centimeters, so 160 through 70 centimeters, so I can do crossband HF, I can do PL tones for DHF and UHF, and I can set all those up, and I think I've got nine quick keys, I think they call them, and I hit that button, and boom, it just jumps right to those settings. So that made complete sense to me. Like I said, I may not have mastered it, but I got a good grasp on it, and I do have the book. So excellent. I really appreciate that information. It actually kind of helped make my Yaesu make sense to me a little bit better as well. So, yep, I got it. And let's see, Brad was taken care of. That's all I had on the plate for tonight. Other than, I wonder if K0PQW is around. Matt, I had a question about 6 meters. I heard you talk about 6 meters before the net started. I may be talking to thin air. Is K0PQW, Matt, you out there? AE5YC.
Let me do a little final. You can find me at KG4PXG-R, so he can just connect up to me just about any time. PXG-R, repeater. Okay, I'm clear. KG4PXG.
Okay, I think Herb was calling KA0PQW. KA0PQW, are you around? This is KK4JZX.
PQW was able to stick around. I know he works on some music gigs at night. So that's it for me, Jose. I'm going to pass it back. The only thing I had for me was my curiosity about what I might want to set up on to try to get into the 6 meters that should be opening up between now and the end of the Mayan calendar. Hi. So I'll pass it back. AE5YC, back to net control. You're doing a great job, Jose.
Thank you, Herb, and thanks to everybody who has contributed tonight. Herb, always nice to hear your experiences. And I'm a rookie, so I'm not. I'm hearing you guys, and all this sounds great. And I have my radio downstairs that I have not been able to use. Actually, I've been able to pull up a repeater, but I don't have a good enough antenna yet to be able to transmit. So I'm working on that. I'm going to take any check-ins for the net. We are about to close the net, but if there's anyone out there that has any questions for the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet tonight, we're taking them, and we've had a tremendous discussion tonight. It's been just as we wanted it, to have a roundtable discussion and to be able to go direct with people and have a discussion about technology. That's what the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet is all about. Anybody that has any questions at this time, go ahead with your check-in. This is KK4JZX.
WA0TDA.
All right, I've got one station, WA0TDA. Pat, how's it going tonight, Pat? Go ahead, it's your turn on the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. This is KK4JZX.
Okay, very good, Jose. Well, I have no idea what the TechNet was about because I just got home. We had a VE session tonight, we had one fellow pass technician, then he decided, well, he paid the $15, so he went in and passed his general, too. Then if that wasn't enough, he said, well, okay, I'll try the extra, and he passed that, too. So how about that for inspiration? While I was outside waiting for all of this to take place, I was able to talk to some of our new general class licensees about antennas. They had some technical questions about that, so we had a kind of an eyeball check that tonight. But anyway, that's where I was, WA0TDA.
Thank you, Pat, for joining the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet tonight. Yeah, we've had a lot of good discussions about many, many topics, you're gonna see, you're gonna get the recording of it, and wow, it's also you're gonna get an overview from me tomorrow or Monday. But thanks for joining us, and always glad to hear that there are new hams coming in into the hobby. We do need the hams, and we need people to come in and join this great hobby. Alright, is there anyone at this time that would like to check in with any further questions or comments? This is KK4JZX. My goodness, it's been a tremendous night. It's half past 9 here. It's probably 8:30 Central Time. It's 9:30 my time here. 9:35, something like that. I want to call for final check-ins for tonight for the Handy Ham Radio Club Net, or anyone that is on the list that would like to make any final comments or might have any follow-up questions. I know there might be one cliffhanger tonight that's still standing, and we might be able to bring it up next week and have somebody answer it. But if anybody has any further comments about what's been discussed tonight, go ahead, it's your turn.
KG4PXG, I might be able to answer that 6 meter question for Mr. Herb there. He still wants to apply it real quick, or I'll stand by after the net and we'll go across with that.
KG4, PXG, go ahead and go direct with Herb, and you guys can have a quick discussion, and then we'll continue with the net, or we'll close it. But go ahead. We still have time. This is KK4JZX.
Yeah, Worth. I'm getting ready to, I picked up my Yaesu FT100 specifically because I wanted to get 6 meters, and I figured if I was going to buy a radio that would do 6 meters, I'd go ahead and pick up one that did more, and so I'm probably going to do some mobile and all that good stuff with it, but that's another story. But on 6 meters, I've been hearing that we're coming into a season on it, and I'm thinking about doing a little homemade three-element Yagi, and I'm going to have a hillbilly rotator on there, rotor, which means I'm going to go outside and twist the pipe. And I'm down in Louisiana near the coast. Have you got any recommendations how the 6 meter band openings go? Do they follow any kind of east, west, north, south, any kind of pattern, or should I just dial it a little bit at a time and see what I get? Let's see, KG4PXG, AE5YC. I'd be happy for any input.
Okay, sir, I can help you out with some of those things. I tell you to build a simple dipole antenna, and you might want to use it horizontally if you're going to try to bounce back down. If you're going to use it locally, you might want to go vertical, and you can make it take that same dipole and turn it and make it look like a lowercase h, where it's extended out from your mounting pole. They'll work great on vertical as well. But that band is, it usually opens up in the daytime pretty much, but it's not, nothing is predictable about it whatsoever. Some people might think it is. I've drawn the conclusion that it's not predictable at all, but let me make some hints for you on the lower end, and also I need you to tell me where you plan to operate to, if you're going to just try to operate sideband and do bounces, bounce back downs off of the ionosphere and try for distant communications, or are you going to try local, and you can answer that when you come back. But there's some folks have the little markers out there or whatever you call them, and you can tune around in the 50-dot lower end.
KG4PXG, go ahead. I think you timed out. This is KK4JZX.
Yeah, Worth, did you finish up or did you time out there? I wasn't quite sure. Last thing I got was you were talking about the beacons, the DX beacons, which since I haven't even put my antenna up, I haven't started looking for them yet. Were you finished up with that? If so, I do have a little quick follow-up. Oh, man, Worth got disconnected. I see he's not even on the list anymore. Man, got my mouth watering there, and he got knocked off. That ain't fair. That ain't even a little bit fair. AE5YC.
All right, Herb, AE5YC. We'll see if Worth comes back. In the meantime, I'm going to take any final check-ins before we put a ribbon on this one. This is KK4JZX. I'm taking check-ins, final check-ins for the Handy Ham Radio Club Net TechNet tonight. This, go ahead.
Whiskey 8 America.
Oh, wow. WW8A. Is that Wayne? Do I remember that name correctly? Go ahead.
Yeah, that's me. Nothing from up here. I just turned the rig on. But I'd say hello. Back to you, WW8A, St. Paul.
All right, Wayne, WW8A, thank you for joining us tonight. We're about to close the net. Did you have any questions, any comments for the net before we close here? I've seen you here a couple times and saw you earlier today on the net. And somehow I remembered your name. I remembered we had a long discussion a few weeks ago while you were on the road walking around, and you always bring a lot of good things to the table and good experience, and we definitely appreciate that. Do you have any comments, Wayne, before we close the net tonight? Go ahead.
No, Jose, it's late. I don't know what the topics were tonight, but we'll wish you guys just the best. And, you know, keep experimenting. Keep trying. Keep working on stuff. That's I spent the night doing my job that I get paid for and redesigning a modification for a Heathkit SVP-220 so I can do what I want to do with it. Guys, just keep after it. It's fun. This is the greatest hobby in the world. There's nothing like this, and I've had a lot of other hobbies. You know, flown and swam and, you know, crossed the ocean on everything from a 40-foot sailboat to a 7,000-ton frigate. And this is the greatest hobby in the world. So, 7-3.
Thank you, Wayne. Always welcome here, WW8A. Appreciate that. I'm sure you and Herb have a lot that you can talk about regarding your adventures in the water. thank you for joining us, and we're here every Thursday at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Anyone that would like to join us, that's the time when we start, and we're about to close the net. Is there anyone else that would like to make any final comments before we close the net? Go ahead, it's your turn. This is KK4JZX.
KG4PXG, I did reconnect. I'm not sure what happened.
I was dragging my feet just in case you would jump in, Worth. Go ahead and finish what you and Herb started. Herb was about to, I don't know, do what, but he had his mouth watering, and then all of a sudden you disconnected. But go ahead and finish up. I think you guys left it at the beacons, and that's where you got disconnected. Worth, go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Herb, maybe you could just, we'll try to make it quick and short. Tell me what you have in mind. You going to try to work single sideband, DXing, or are you going to work local FM repeaters or local stations? I can give you a world of information, but maybe we can just cut it short real quick and we can get, I don't want to tie up the net. I know the net controller probably wants to take a break. Anyway, give me a direct question. I'll give you a quick answer if I possibly can.
All right, Worth. Well, I appreciate that, and I'm a DXer, a rag-chewing DXer. I do like to talk, as anyone can tell you, if I've timed your repeater out more than once, but I'm looking to do on 6 meters. I'll do some local stuff, but I'm not too worried about that. I'm going to fix a vertical up, but I was going with thinking of going with a Yagi. But if you think a simple dipole will do, then I think I'll rig up a rigid. I was going to use a double bazooka, and I'll see what you think about that. Should I do a rigid dipole, or should I out of like copper tubing or an aluminum tubing, or because I want it rotatable for sure, or I'd even thought about taking making my double bazooka and putting it inside of some PVC pipe so that I could again make it rotatable. I've heard that there's a lot of noise immunity properties to the double bazooka, and I got a bunch of coax laying around as well, which kind of makes it attractive. So we'll tackle real quick your thoughts on single sideband on 6 meters with a rotatable dipole. What would you recommend building it? And then I'm just going to stick it up in the air and spin it around, look for beacons. KG4PXG, AE5YC.
Roger, AE5YC, KG4PXG. The thing that you want to do is just build a simple dipole. If the band's open, you're in. And if it's not open, well, you'll just be looking. That's a quick, short answer. Build a simple dipole, and you don't really have to make it out of anything super heavy. And I'd recommend from center feed out, about 50 inches if you're going to stay on the low end, no tuner needed, or maybe 51 inches. if you're going to go to the higher end of the band, you want to ease it back to about 49 and a half or maybe 49 inches. Now, don't forget about repeaters. We have a repeater here on 53.110, no tone needed. That's a perfect beacon. You key up and you get in it, it's going to echo back with an ID and a little courtesy tone. So don't forget about repeaters. They can give you some answers real quick whether the band's open and which direction it's going. A lot of people search and look for beacons, and a lot of people do DXing on upper sideband, and all that's good. But the signal goes just as far on FM, and the FM repeaters are out there. There's a lot of them. Just look down the list, and some need tones and some don't to access them. But that's a good little thing to check on right there.
All right, Worth. I appreciate the input on that, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to put myself together a simple dipole, and we got at least one. I think there might be more than one 6-meter FM repeater in the area, so I can tinker with that. But I'm definitely looking to do some bounce, and so I'll be looking for some sideband bounce, and I'll just gently spin it. I'll put it close enough to the window where maybe I can lift the wind up, reach out, and turn the pole. 6 meters is a short antenna, so it shouldn't be a big deal. But I hope to catch you on the air again, maybe on a midday net. We usually get together before the net and chit-chat, and sometimes we'll chit-chat after the net for, hours, who knows. So if you get a chance on the midday net, if not, I look to catch you on here, and I'll hang out on 20 meters as much as I can during the day whenever the band's open. I always check into the 14300 maritime net, and I forget the 15 meter net. I've got it written down. I just started checking into that Pacific maritime net here recently. But I check into the maritime nets, and as Jose was saying, I'm a sailor, and I haven't sailed quite as big as you. Biggest I got under my belt is only a 63 foot steel hull motor sailor, but I have covered some ground with it, or some water. So we'll have to get together and swap some sailing stories. Let's let Jose get out of here since we're coming up on the 2-hour mark, and you and I will get together and chit-chat again on down the logbook a little bit. Appreciate all the help, Worth. KG4, PXG, AE5YC. I'll turn it back over to you on your final, and then you can turn it back over to Jose to shut this puppy down.
Okay, that sounds great. And you know how to find me. And I also meant the repeaters as far as bouncing back for DX signals as well. Like I say, the beacons are out there, but repeaters are out there as well. And they'll bounce right back at you over the airways just as good as the beacons will. So enjoy 6 meters, and I'll thank everybody for giving me a few minutes on the net. I really enjoyed this. First time in here, boy, I'm just wearing it out for everybody. Enjoyed it. KG4PXG clear, and back to net control.
All right. It's not a problem at all, Worth. KG4PXG. And by the way, Herb, I think Worth mentioned his repeater, KG4PXG-R, earlier. I know he offered it. I took a note, and he says that's his repeater, so I'm sure he won't mind if you guys connect to it. All right, this is KK4JZX for the Handy Ham Radio Club Net, and we are closing the net. This has been a 2-hour net when it's really supposed to be an hour, but it's fun, and it's been great. I don't think we could make an hour anymore. I don't think this net could be an hour anymore. I think that with the discussions that we're having and the fun, that the much fun that we're having is not going to be good for an hour. So, and thus far, we haven't been able to keep it down to an hour. So with that said, this is KK4JZX Jose, and I am going to say 73 to all. Thank you very much for everyone that joined the Handy Ham Radio Club Net, TechNet. Tonight is November 15, 2012, and we are returning all equipment to normal operating parameters. Thank you. Clear.
KD0ETQ.